This is our, what, our sixth session of Practical Work on Self, beginning tonight, and we're all ready to go to talk about the work wish and our experiences working with the work wish over the last 2 weeks, and then we will move on to cover the chapter, A Struggle of Sorcerers.
Wow.
David?
So, yeah. Am I up?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, Work Wish. Do we remember that chapter 4? It was over a week ago. It was 2 weeks ago. And now we have 2 weeks to practice on our Work Wish. And first of all, do we remember what the kind of like the basic formula that we had for doing the work wish? We can begin to unify ourselves by creating a special centrum of gravity called our work wish. So there was a formula given in the chapter, and other people had other specific work wishes that helped, and I would say that in fact it does help and did help to create a centrum of gravity. So I'm wondering if others had a chance to look at that idea of work wish.
So let's talk maybe about what a centrum of gravity is, for the sake especially of those people who will be listening to this course over the computer.
Okay. And, okay, do you want me to take a shot at it, or are others making, everybody's
I'll
waiting.
I'll make a comment in the meantime.
Yeah.
If anyone wants to chime in, they're welcome to chime in. For me, creating a centrum of gravity means getting my will together. It's a special form of focus, and that focus has to do with finding in myself a form of motivation, a way that I can get my mind and my emotions and my intentions all lined up and get some will involved so that I'm able to make my intention to do my spiritual work of greater importance than my distractions or my laziness or other things that might come up. So for me, that's my centrum of gravity.
Okay. One of the things that was discussed in the chapter also is the idea that we are fragmented, and we're fragmented. We're going in all kinds of different directions, and one way to begin to unify is, as you put it, to grab some form of an object of will. Like, if you can think of a object of will that is a higher object of will, then I maintain that that helps you create a centrum of gravity. So if you can see, in a sense, something beyond yourself, then I think it's something that you can do. You can do that. And I guarantee you, that's something that I've had the opportunity to experience this last 2 weeks. Quite a bit, actually.
What do you mean by higher?
Well, you know, it's like, it seems to me that a lot of the times in life, so to speak, I'm stuck more or less just in the mundane of the practicum of life. Now, there's nothing necessarily wrong with that, but if I bring like a different consciousness, what I really mean is if I bring intention to it, and if I bring intention to it, and sometimes that is so very difficult, that when I do, I'm not just a reactive slave, in a sense, to what's going on around me. I'm participating in the experience, and And so that's what I mean by, did you say the word higher, or did
Well,
I?
you said the word higher, and I asked you what higher meant for you in this context. For me, I think it's perhaps important to say that higher doesn't necessarily mean that the focus is on something loftier. It may mean that, but I would say higher refers to the value that I place on being present with the wish, how important I make it for myself, rather than exactly what it is. So, for instance, any kind of activity could be either mundane or it could be used as either a ritual or as part of the work wish to awaken ourselves by the quality of presence that we bring forward when we do that activity. So higher doesn't have to do with what it is, but it has to do with what we bring to it.
Yeah, so if I am in a different place, so in a certain way, it's like taking the mundane all the way. And, it's paying attention in a way that to whatever's before you. And if I'm doing that, I feel like I'm what I in the area that I would call higher. My being feels more imbued. I feel like I'm more on the right path. It's more like I'm being me. I'm more of me when I can pay attention in that way. Like right now, while we're listening and I'm speaking, and it's to what extent can I listen? Can I respond? Can I be talking about what's going on in me? And there you go.
When you say being you, one thing that comes to mind when I work with people on transformation and when people become afraid, whether it's me or someone else, when we become afraid of change and maybe changing too much too fast, as if we could change too much too fast. We here know how very, very difficult it is to make even a small change. But when it's the opportunity for major change seems to present itself really quickly, the fear of change shows up as not being oneself anymore. Will I really be me if I make this change? And the very interesting thing is that somehow the more we supposedly transform, the more we really are what we have been on the inside. The transformation consists of stripping something that doesn't belong away rather than in becoming something new and different. And so that feeling of just being myself and being at home and comfortable with oneself becomes stronger and stronger, paradoxically, in the process of transformation.
Well, let me ask you this then. If you're sitting there and you have like a fear of going into the next level or the next thing or something that, as you put it, is frightening, what is, who is, what is afraid?
That's a good question. For me, what's afraid, I see that in terms of what Jung called subpersonalities or fragments of what I call the mainframe, where older parts of ourselves, in this case myself, are split off usually through trauma, and those pieces tend to grow at different speeds.
Aha, nice. They grow at different speeds.
Happy Mist says, we will be more of me, mechanical, the robot. We will be more of me. And then the split off part, I would say, mechanical, the robot.
Well, that's interesting. So here we have something that we're afraid of, and yet what compels us to go forward then? What's the thing on the other side of the river that pulls us over to something that if we go through the river, we're going to be afraid? What compels us for the more that such that we are willing to be afraid? I'm willing to be afraid. I've seen some things.
Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say real quick that there are times when I am convinced that I'm compelled to go ahead. And yes, I'm afraid. But sometimes when I say the fear thing, it's like an afterthought. The fear word, the F word.
Yeah, the four-letter word that begins with F. That would be fear.
That's right.
So Happy Miss was saying, yes, fear initially, and about your question about what compels one to move forward, she said hope. Now, for me, I don't have words for it, but for me, what compels me to move forward is... Well, it sounds like hope when I say it, a sense of possibility. But for me, hope can be two things. It can be like mechanical in terms of being a defense against fear or a position where one is trying to be positive in the face of something that one's uncomfortable with. Sinhog says conscience. Or hope can be, or hope can be, for me, I say a possibility. When I say that, I have a sense of the timeline in myself from pre-birth in through this life. And the sense is being drawn along the line of what my destiny needs to be for me to be on track and on target. And that's a little bit different than hope. Happy Miss said, no, the knowledge that there's more.
Sometimes I feel like, and I'm just thinking of a specific right now, that I need to proceed in spite of the fear in order to complete myself in a certain way.
Yes, and Forepaugh says, I push myself to go forward, to find a new me to love and be proud of.
Yeah.
And, yes, that's nicely said. I like what you said about moving forward to complete oneself. And I guess we have a choice at every moment when the choice presents to be prevented from moving forward by the fear or to decide that the fear really isn't that important. And I think one of the important things about this work, when you say what parts or what is it that fears, what is it that holds back, those fragmentary parts are usually motivated by comfort because they're stuck, and comfort is defined as familiarity. So anything that's familiar, anything that's been in the past, is defined as being comfortable. When we give up that definition of comfort and realize that it's just familiar, we see that we have possibilities to be more comfortable and happier and more fulfilled by, quote-unquote, changing. In other words, becoming even more of what we really are on the inside. Ponderous silence.
Yeah, well, I was just thinking a little bit about fishing. You know, I don't know if anybody's done much fishing, but you hope you catch a fish. And when you, it's like when I was a teenager, I'd go down to Ensenada, down below L.A., and fish on the ocean there, surf fishing. and you had to cast your line way out in order so that you were beyond the initial waves. And so it was really, you had to learn how to cast really far, cast way out there, hoping to get something. And it was something about that effort in itself was good.
Okay.
So. Yeah, well, yeah, it's been there.
Happy Mist has fished before. So do we have in the group any experiences of focusing on the work wish in the last 2 weeks? If so, please come forward and let us hear your experiences and how that went for you. For me, I did part of my work wish is doing this, what we're doing tonight, and I don't always want to do it, but seems like it's good for me. Ginger Rogers said, "Hope leads to expectations about the future, and the future is scary. Maybe not as scary as the past, but where there's hope, time appears, and the future and other stuff, hopefully." Pathworld says, we only have the now, this moment in now. I think it's only, it says on. And that's a strange thing about perception. It's interesting, as Ginger Rogers says, that the past shows up when there's hope. It's almost the future shows up when there's hope.
Yeah.
When there's hope, I think maybe both of them show up when there's hope, because hope being about the future, we're thinking about what the past was like and how scary that might have been and what we'd like to be different in the future, and all of a sudden we're out there on the timeline instead of necessarily being in the moment.
Yes.
And Ginger Rogers says, the bare now, B-A-R-E, the bare now, which is real. I like that, the bare now.
So, yeah, you're not... We had a conversation, I think, a few weeks ago about hope and fear going their handmaidens, and that maybe there was a different way of looking at it. And I can't quite remember where we went with it, but the work wish idea was part of it. It was formulating a work wish. And let's see if anybody took any notes like me.
You had a piece that you wanted to bring in from last week as well.
Yeah, should I read that now?
If you like, you can ask permission first if you want to.
Hey, Diana?
Yeah?
Is it okay if I read your email?
Oh, okay, David, go ahead.
Okay. I just finished listening to the tape of last week's class. I found the material to be difficult, yet the discussion to be quite compelling. I did not completely understand Silverdale's explanation of and step towards unity. I was wondering if you and David would review this again next class. If you don't review the concept, it's okay. Perhaps I should just trust that the knowledge and understanding will arrive as needed. I will have to admit my biggest challenge, mechanicality, right now, beyond sticking my fingers over my mouth, is to not be intimidated, both as I listen to this course and examine myself. Blessings. Diana. No, Diana. She's not online on that. She's on the phone. So, is Silverdale on, by the way?
Yes.
She is? Oh, hi, Silverdale. So, I did not completely understand Silverdale's explanation of and steps toward unity.
David, I don't know if Silverdale's answering you, but I actually went back and listened to the tape and tried to take better notes of what he said. I don't know if he remembers.
Good. No, if you could bring it out, that'd be great.
Yeah, Silverdale, you were saying something about the chapter work wish is based on an understanding of the three forces in their primordial form that possess all possibilities of a human being. The first being diversity / multiplicity. The second being unity of all and everything. And at some point there was a further explanation about to believe you're more of a light, like the Jesus light. And the third was reflection of ability to blend harmoniously the first two forces. So I had to listen to that part of the tape. I'll be honest with you, I had to listen to it 3 or 4 times just to see if I could slightly begin to understand it. But I'll admit I don't completely understand that comment. And it sounded fascinating, and I'd really be grateful if Silverdale, David T., somebody could explain that a little bit more.
Thank you for taking those notes, too. That's great.
Synopsis.
Okay, David, thanks.
Oh, sorry.
Email.
I'll say that again, Diana.
No, I just said thank you as well for the email.
Yeah.
Sinhug said, yes, that explanation was way beyond me, too.
Thank you.
Good. So is Silverdale...
He hasn't said anything, but he did turn up, so...
Okay, well, he's...
He may be formulating. In the meantime, does anybody else have an experience of a work wish or of working with the work wish that they would like to share? I know I remembered a work wish that I had actually made in a lucid moment when I was 21, and it just surfaced into my awareness, and I could see how my life events were playing out in order to start to make that a possibility or a reality. And I find it very interesting the way sometimes, even when we're very much aligned with something that we want to create in our lives, sometimes life events and life experience and who we become really needs to go through a lot of different shifts and changes and experience before we're able to carry that work wish out. And there's something about being able to sustain our intention at an interior level during these timings when it feels like nothing's happening on the outside.
Uh-huh. Right. Good. Now, I just wanted to, I'm going to repeat one of the formulations that EJ gave in the chapter was to practice doing one practice of the work wish. It has two parts, is to say, I wish the results of this small sacrifice to be used for the benefit of all beings everywhere, and make this wish reverberate in your solar plexus. So the small sacrifice would be any effort that you're making toward awakening during the week, the work process. And when you're doing that, you make that, and then you offer it up, in a sense. You offer that work wish, you offer that effort up such that it can be used for the benefit of all beings everywhere. And then there's this idea of letting it reverberate in the solar plexus. And did we get that? Did we have a feel for what that meant?
Yes, we discussed that.
Okay. And basically for me, what that part means is that part is very important, because it's like driving a kind of understanding down into your being in such a way that you remember it essentially. There's an essential electrical memory of that effort then. You're taking it, and here I say, you're taking it to another level. You're taking it to a higher level of a form of consciousness. You're putting something into it. So it might be a small thing. It might be a small thing that you do. It's just some habit that you might have, and then you put an effort into it. But then at that moment, you take that effort and you convert it to something else. That's all. I just wanted to say that. So that's like marking it. You're marking it into the higher. And in a sense, for me, when I do it, it's kind of like a little bit of, like I'm marking it against the world of sleep that is pounding against me pretty much all the time. And so when I make an effort like that and I'm able to say something like that and it reverberates like that, boy, does it have a nice effect.
Thank you for reminding us of that. That's great. Go ahead.
Wait, you guys, can I ask for help?
Please.
Okay. T, I'll direct this question to you since you and I are on the phone today, because I don't really feel like I successfully executed a work wish in the last 2 weeks, which was why I was a little silent, but I liked T's comment about just sort of starting an internal process. So my question to either one of you is, you know, I'm pretty young on the path and in understanding EJ's work, and I don't feel like I'm able to sort of take this into my solar plexus and reverberate it out. So can either one of you give me some guidance on, you know, what you think I can focus on right now? Am I doing as much as I can? Is there maybe one other step that I can add into my process?
Yeah.
Okay.
Since you asked me directly, and since we're working together, I would pardon me?
Yeah. Yeah, because we do the work together.
I would recommend making a sacrifice of your tendency to be hard on yourself.
Okay.
So whenever you find yourself thinking in ways where you're beating yourself up inside, I would say to yourself what David was saying, I'm sacrifice this for the good of all people everywhere, all beings everywhere, because if you sacrifice, whenever we sacrifice drama or suffering or tendency toward internal self-abuse through our inner voices, that energetic goes out into the world, especially if we do it consciously and intentionally like that, and we're deciding to make the world a better place starting right where we can, and we make it easier for everybody everywhere to do the same thing. So when you do that, you are contributing to everybody. So you can start right where you are with your work wish and make it real easy for yourself with what you're doing anyway. And another piece of that is Beware of thinking that you have to do too much and forcing yourself or pushing yourself because that will take you away from your presence in it. Just
Okay.
this very simple thing of catching yourself when you're being mean to yourself and giving that over on its own would be very powerful, maybe more powerful than trying to do too many different things in different directions.
That makes sense.
How do you feel about that?
That makes sense. I'm absorbing it intellectually, and I haven't integrated it yet, but that's
Yeah.
probably something that you and I can keep working on as we work, because I know my tendency is I lodge in my head and I want to. I mean, you sort of gave me some comfort in your answer. I think that's my short answer. I got comfort in your words.
That was my intention.
Okay.
One of the things is that what I think what I heard is something about being hard on yourself, maybe a phrase like that. Is that right?
Yes.
Okay. So that tendency, whatever that means, will have a manifestation.
Good.
And I think, pardon?
Good. Yeah. Go.
Yeah. It'll have a manifestation. It might be a mental manifestation. And if you're really lucky, it's going to have a physical manifestation. And part of the project in chapter Work Wish is when you see that manifestation unfolding, you pause it in a sense. You sidestep it. And that at that moment, when you're interrupting that process, that's when you say, "May this effort be used for the benefit of all beings everywhere." And you sit with it for a second, right? Don't just say it, blah, 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 but you say it from as deep a place as you can say it for yourself at that moment, and that's when you'll feel a little something in
Okay.
terms of the solar plexus.
So, David, when would you choose to do this exercise in Work Wish versus the pond?
Well, the pond is a that's a good question, and I'm glad you brought it up. I was going to actually, I had this feeling I wanted to list out all the chapters, but I'll do that for next week, where I'm going to list the chapters and, like, in one capsule sentence, what the exercise was, and we're going to see that each of them are slightly different, and each of them is giving us slightly. Something slightly different, but we're going down a common path as well. So in the pond, we're exercising, we're seeing something, let's just say, a type of a interaction we have with somebody that is irritating us, and all we're doing is working with not reacting to that until we can allow it to pass through it. So that consciousness at that moment when you're doing the pond exercises, you're right. It's very similar. At that moment you could say, "Now I use this effort for the benefit of all beings everywhere."
David,
So that's just, yeah.
if you'd like to submit those exercises to me in written format, I would make them available to everyone through the mailing list so
Okay, that's a good
people can
idea.
print it out that way.
Yeah, and it's real interesting. I looked at it. I was thinking about it early in the afternoon, and it was quite curious. As you go chapter to chapter, it starts to unfold in a certain way. So we're dealing with this electrochemical factory that we're working with here, and we're taking moments. So when you actually pay attention. You actually pay attention to something that's inside you. That is a effort from what I'm going to be calling the higher, because it's intentional, and as we've used the term before, the non-phenomenal self, the essential self, in a sense, is what's guiding us, and that's what we're working with there. And so the enhanced attention at that time allows us to be in a little bit of a different place. That's all.
Nice.
Okay. Anything else?
Nothing showing up in the online contingency.
Okay. I just, it's a funny thing when we say things like, I'm just at the beginning, I'm a beginner and all of that. There's this whole idea that, and this comes from something out of Spinoza, where he says, it's this effort at understanding is virtue itself. He's not saying, oh, only when you have understanding, then you're there. It's the effort at doing it. That's the game.
And then you're here.
That's the here. You're doing it. So if the effort comes forth, and I think I told you that story about where I was, I was in this isolation thing for about 10 days out in West Virginia, and I come out and I see this, the leader of the group, and he says, well, at least you're still smiling. And I said, yeah, but I don't know if I don't know if I'm on the path or what. And he says, the fact that you're asking the question, that it's working in you that way, that means you're on the path. So, whatever.
So Zazen said, it feels like an experiment. Do this and see what happens.
Yeah. Yeah. And do it and see what happens. And then do it and see what happens.
And
then back and do it and see what happens.
He added, say this phrase and put your attention or reverberate it here, then see what happens.
So when you say that, Zazen, and you use the term, you use a word like reverberate it here, did I remember that right?
Yes.
Was that his phrase?
Yes.
So that's what he says. What do you mean by that? What do you mean by the words reverberate it here?
We need to give him a moment to type.
Okay.
So far, nothing. We hope that he heard you.
Okay. Well, I'm just posing it as in a certain way as a rhetorical question, so that we have it in our own brain, the idea of what does it mean to reverberate it here, and we can keep cycling that back until we have a sense of what it means for ourselves and what it means internally to reverberate it here. And for me, I've done a lot of practice in that particular area. I've practiced it a lot. Just like a tennis player or a good fisherman, I've practiced it, and I have a little bit of a sense of what that is now for me, and I'm very pleased. But so that's all.
Zazen said, to me it means intend to place a portion of the energy of the task at this place and feel it move.
Okay. Isn't that magical, though, in an interesting way, when you say, he's using this term, intend. So the intention becomes a real tool. The intention itself is a factor in this. And you hold the intention in a proper manner. And what's one of the intentions that we're working with in this very chapter here? And the intention is, and may this effort be used for the benefit of all beings everywhere. So hold the intention. That's something we can do.
To me, it's like striking a gong, and the gong is inside my own body and energy center, and then the energy spreads out into the world and it becomes larger even if it's more diffuse.
This is the Gong Show. The Aftershock Show. Nice stuff. And you'll become aware, as that works in you a little bit, and it, as it become works in us, we become aware of it in other people. We can sense their stuff too.
What kind of stuff?
That's just, well, I mean these reverberations. These let this reverb. My intention is to reverberate it here. And as you wake it up in yourself, then you have a little bit of eyes to see it in others as they walk past you and stuff.
A little bit of nerve fibers to feel it.
Yeah. You know how when you have you done much electrical work? You know, when you do an electrical work.
I stuck a screwdriver in a telephone thing one time and did some pretty intensive electrical work.
That's a form of it.
It was quite shocking.
Yeah, I bet it was. But when you're like, when you're doing, you're connecting two electrical devices of one sort or another, you have to bare the wire. You have to strip the wire of both ends so then you can put them together. But nothing happens until you strip the wire. So we have to strip the wire a little bit, our wire. We have to strip it a little bit so that we can begin to sense it, and then it can begin to connect. And it can begin to connect internally with ourselves, too.
That's a very good point. And stripping the wire would be what? Bearing ourselves down into what the actual feelings are operating within us in the moment?
Yes. Yeah. Yeah, 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 yeah. Yeah, and that's a perfect entry into the next chapter.
And before we move on, Zazen said, could that placement of reverberation be establishing a physical centrum of gravity?
A physical centrum of gravity. Let's study that.
I would say an energetic centrum of gravity located in the body. And I would say that each of the chakras is a great opportunity spot for a centrum of gravity that has specific types of electrical potential.
Hey, Zazen, what did you mean by a physical centrum of gravity?
Just placing the centrum within our body.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. You know, it's a funny thing, because when you see yourself a little bit more, then you can start to see around you a little bit. But you have to look inside a little bit, too. And that's what we're doing. We're all the way to chapter 6.
He said, I believe it could energetically move to many areas.
I believe you're right.
Me too. Okay, there are no other comments, unless somebody would like to say something over the phone or rush in a question or comment, let's move on to the struggle of sorcerers.
Okay. That, should I start then?
Yes.
Okay.
Unless
that chapter,
you have the option of changing the tape now, since we're in an in-between place.
We don't.
Okay, go ahead.
Struggle of the Sorcerers, Chapter 6. On one moment, okay? Yes, we have the chance to change the tape right now.
All right, then this is a good timing.
Yeah, so when